David, you were right before the break telling me about someone who was in the know, who told you it was something extraterrestrial.
Well, I get a lot of contacts from people in the science world who have had unusual experiences because they know I am a bona fide scientist, if you like.
Sure.
I don't actually take any nonsense. I really am quite skeptical. But if somebody has a sincere story to tell, and I can believe in what they're saying, then I do take it seriously, and they know that's the case. There's one fellow in particular. There are a number of interesting examples, actually. There's one fellow that I can mention. I can't reveal his identity because, during the day, he's actually a spacecraft engineer at the Goddard Space Flight Center.
Ah, so okay.
He's actually worked for NASA.
Sure.
Several of the people that I have dealings with do work for NASA. It's interesting because, many people think, the guys that work for NASA, they do their daytime job and they don't really believe in anything out of the ordinary. But this fellow builds spacecraft during the day, and at night he's had some really extraordinary experiences. And I don't know what, is behind them, but in his own words, he feels as though he is being pulled. He's definitely had this feeling of contact, of presence, and he describes it in various ways. The most common description he uses is extraterrestrial. It's some form of intelligence that is obviously not human. It's not familiar. And this has happened to him actually while he's been lying in bed, next to his wife who's been asleep, and he's had these profound experiences which came on very, very suddenly, but have been going on now for a couple of years, where he just feels as though he is being drawn. Now, how can you put these things into words? I don't know. He's used the word extraterrestrial. He's also used the word angel as well, but perhaps not in the biblical sense, but to mean some higher form of intelligence. I think he's just trying to pass on his feelings.
Are they channeling something to him?
He feels as though he's been singled out for some special treatment and some information is trying to be conveyed. I know it sounds very strange when you put it like that, and it sounds rather hokey, but these are his impressions, and how do you put something unfamiliar into familiar words? That's the thing.
Well, how did you cross over from pure science to this area of life after death and the universal things?
I never did cross over. I was already always there.
Were you? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that I think many people who are scientists do it, and they do have their own beliefs, which they don't normally talk about because it may compromise their profession. It's a difficult situation if you are actually earning your money as a scientist, whether you're a professor in a university or you're working for NASA, what have you. If you go back, say, 30 years, if you talked about life in space 30 years ago, the best you could hope for would be a kind of a knowing smile for people, It was just taboo. You just didn't do that. There were very, very few people working in the field. There was barely such a thing as an astrobiologist, And anybody working in SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence was just way out in left field.
Sure.
So times change, And the thing is that science has become very much, put in a little box. We have to do things in a certain way, and this is what we believe. And if you believe anything outside of that, then you're a little bit cookie, And I think it's unfortunate that that's the way it's come about, but in some ways it has to be, because that's really the strength of science, is that it progresses in a certain way, but it also makes it blind to a lot of other phenomena that are going on. Now, I think, to be quite frank with you, there's a lot of nonsense talked as well, but if somebody who has a real genuine story to tell, a real experience to tell, is opening a window on a different aspect of the universe, and I really sincerely believe that. So when this fellow from, Goddard Space Flight Center writes to me, I've been in communication with him now for a number of months. He's obviously very genuine. He approached me because he knew he could trust me, and I would never reveal his identity. But he's obviously having some genuine experiences. He's not crazy, you know. And who knows what the underlying cause is? I don't know. But I'm putting that into part of my investigation. You know, I think it's a genuine experience he's having. Whether these are extraterrestrial beings or not, I don't know. But certainly something's happening to him.
Have you had anybody tell you directly that governments indeed know of extraterrestrial life?
Well, you know, there's a whole spectrum from people that I deal with. I've been to a number of SETI conferences. I was at the SETI League last year. I gave the banquet speech there, and there were a number of people there who had these kind of gray, if you want to call it that, you know, if you want to talk about black and white, they had these gray area beliefs of, I can point to one example in particular. There's a fellow there who works at JPL. Again, a spacecraft engineer.
Yes.
And he doesn't really buy into the UFO thing, but he does believe that there may be extraterrestrial probes in the solar system. After all, we're already talking about sending probes to other stars.
We've got them all over the place.
Yeah, there are already four spacecraft leaving the solar system.
Exactly.
So they're kind of interstellar spacecraft. And in years to come, and it may not be too far in the future, we're going to be building purpose-built probes to go into interstellar space and maybe even go to neighboring stars. So that's not far-fetched at all.
Well, and if you have a probe and add a million years of technology to it, where maybe they have no idea what they're even looking for, but it's got a brain, sort of, you know, and it leaves various solar systems, finds new ones, and then decides to do what it does.
That's right. And also, you know, some of the equipment we're building right now that's going to be in orbit within 10 to 15 years is going to enable us to identify Earth-like planets around other stars and then search their atmospheres for signs of life. Now, obviously, if there are other beings on other stars relatively nearby, they can do the same to us, right? As soon as you find planets that appear to be supporting life, what's the next thing you're going to do? Maybe send probes out there, right?